Your financial questions answered by the best local business professionals. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in with your questions at 888-205-2263 or send us instant feedback on moneymattersboston.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the Money Matters Radio Network, and this is the afternoon edition at 3:03. I am June Knight, and I am joined by my Wednesday co-host. It's Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. Love seeing you in here, Brendan. That means the week is half over.
That's what I represent to you.
Nothing against you.
I am the hump day representative.
It's okay, though. It's all good. It's all downhill from here.
Hey, you know, it's positive. As long as I can represent something positive for you, June, we're good.
All right, so let me throw this little news headline at you real quickly, too, because we're going to get into, obviously, Estate Preservation Law Offices, what you guys are doing today. President Obama not releasing the photos there of Bin Laden. I think that's kind of a good thing. You think that for everybody? I mean,
you know, I've heard arguments from both sides, and I can kind of see the reason not to. Of course, when you do something like that, you don't ever want to seem tasteless about it. So you're trying to just, okay, we're going to move on from here and not say, hey, you know, let's take a look at this dead guy. But on the other hand, I think people are always going to be skeptical. So whether you do it or not, crazy pictures are going to be floating around. People who know how to Photoshop.
Phony pictures.
Yeah,
sure. I think they're already out there.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. But I'm sure that there are, you know. Yeah. So I could definitely see both sides. So it's a tough call.
I guess, the president coming on saying today that it definitely poses a national security risk to the U.S. to put those out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think what's done is done. You just don't want to insult anybody more. I mean, it's okay, we did it, move on. And you know, there's a difference between winning and accomplishing a goal and then saying, ha ha, how about
putting
this?
It in people's faces.
right. You know?
Oh, boy.
I mean, I beat some of my buddies in a tennis match last night, and if I had kind of been like, yeah, how's that feel?
Yeah.
You know, we probably wouldn't be talking right
Videotape
now.
Videotape it. Send it to them on Facebook.
Exactly.
So that all their friends can
right.
see the win.
You know, and I don't need to do the moonwalk across the court and, you know.
I'd like to see that. That'd be kind of neat. Oh,
it's a clay court, so it'd be hard to do, but, you know.
Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices in studio with me, June Knight. And today, not only, Brendan, do you have a free pamphlet, the Homestead Handout, we're calling this, Understanding Homestead Protection, but we're also talking about business entities. This is a new one for us.
Right, yeah. You know, that's the correlation between that and the Homestead Handout. Mainly the thought there is that as we're going to be talking about business entities, what they are, why people set them up, how we deal with them. You know, another asset in our past few weeks, we've been talking about life insurance one week. We talked about retirement plans another week. And again, today, you know, business assets. A lot of individuals that we see own businesses. And, you know, how do we handle those assets and why do people set them up? And just give a little background on that and what we need to look for as estate planning attorneys so that when someone says, hey, yeah, you know what, I own an S corporation. You know, what do I need to do to transfer that to my son, or what should I be thinking about? What are some of the issues? And when you start thinking of things like that, it gets you to think of other things, and then eventually you go in and see someone about it. And I think that's the idea of the show. The idea is to, hey, you may not have thought about this, and certainly if you haven't, this is something to think about, and you may want to go see a planner and talk to them about it. So again, you know, the idea behind the business entity, usually people set businesses up for asset protection and hence the homestead handout, which, you know, if you're a business owner, you got to have a homestead on your house. You know?
Right.
So, again, that's going to be our handout today, the free handout. Give our office a call, 508-751-5010, and get yourself a free homestead handout. Also, too, you can get on our mailing list as well.
Oh, yeah, because you guys have a newsletter, too, right?
That's right. That's right. That'll go out to anyone who wants it.
Okay, great. And, you know, the way the unemployment situation is going in this country, too, Brendan, a lot of people maybe got laid off, got let go, and they started their own business.
Oh, sure.
So a lot of new business owners out there
that
don't know these rules.
That's right. And who better to hire than yourself when you're unemployed? I mean,
work for yourself.
I'm a self-employed individual and has a lot of positives. And but of course, you know, the stress of making payroll and all those types of things come up. So, you know, it's very, very, very much a rewarding aspect. But one of the things that even myself I have to think about for my own estate planning is, okay, when I pass away, you know, I own interest in an LLC. I own the stock in my law firm, and, you know, or actually the units in my law firm. what do I do with it? You know, if I pass away, who can own those types of things, and how do I get them to where they're supposed to be? So, you know, just to back it up a little bit, we'll talk about, you know, why do people set these things up in the first place? And I kind of indicated that really when the way I look at it, people typically set up some sort of entity for asset protection. You know, I mean, I don't really know what would be another reason why someone would set something like this up. I think the idea is always to put some sort of shield around what it is you're trying to do. Now, what we're typically talking about today is, although it can be blown up on a much larger scale, is for the person who has that small business, maybe family business. But, you know, if you own shares of stock in Exxon, you're a corporate owner as well. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you own part of that company. Now, that has its own situations, and but really what I want to talk about today is someone who's operating a business or has a business interest, whether it's just real estate that they're investing, or whether it's you know, a law firm, or you know, you're a physician, or you know, you sell widgets, whatever it is, you know, you're setting up some sort of entity. Now, in that regard, there are different ways that you can set this up, and oftentimes, you know, people will come into our office and they know which. We deal a lot with entities and planning and business succession planning, and they'll ask us, what kind of entity should I set up? Now, if you're approaching it from the beginning, there's some things to think about. You know, there's always the asset protection concern, and what are you trying to accomplish, and what kind of entity is it? But there's also the tax side of it too. You know, we want to think about, and this is where, you know, your accountant, I always try to bring the accountants into this as well, because if I'm going to set up the entity, I always want to bring them into the mix as well, because it's easy for me to set it up, but they're the ones that got to live with it year after year and deal with whatever I set up.
And they're in that loop anyway, so
absolutely.
You need to keep them there.
Absolutely. And planning is really a multidisciplined approach. You know, I know what I know, but I don't know what they know. And then, of course, the financial piece comes in. Financial advisors come in from their side. And so, you know, the way that we operate in our firm, it's a very much a collegial, everyone brings something to the table type of thing. We're not a one-stop shop, if you will. We're very specialized at what we do. So, you know, we're very much relying on accountants' inputs or financial advisors' inputs in putting together our plan. So if someone comes in or someone has a what they just think is a sole proprietorship, they'll say, you know, what does that give me, you know, from an asset protection standpoint? Well, really, nothing. You know, if you set up a business, a lemonade stand, if you will, and you're just selling lemonade on the side of the corner, and you know there's no protection in that. You know, you haven't done anything to protect yourself, the business, your family from any kind of liability that might incur. So if there were some seeds in that lemonade and someone choked, you know, not only is your little lemonade stand going to go the way of the dodo, but, you know, they're going to start looking at your personal assets.
So let me ask you then. So, you know, this business entity,
right,
that you call it, this is different or maybe even the same as, say, a trust.
Yeah,
only
exactly.
It's a trust for a business.
That's right. Yeah, it's a very, very good point.
Okay.
And a lot of times, and you know, when we talk about business entities and we talk about trusts, they're both protective vehicles in a way. And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll sit down with the client, and the client says, I think I need a trust, or I think I need a business. And while they both can protect us in our assets, it's very important to determine, you know, what they're trying to do, what it is that they're trying to protect against. Now, if I've got a lemonade stand and I want to wrap a trust around that, you really should, if it's a business, you should really look into a business entity to you know, as far as structuring that entity, because they're both entities. Trusts and businesses are both entities. You really want to structure a business around that. Why? Because I'm operating a business. Trusts really come in more, generally speaking, more with respect to assets themselves, assets that are probably what we call cool assets. In other words, the assets themselves aren't really causing us or could cause us any liability, you know, as opposed to a hot asset. Hot asset would be you know, an airplane. You know, if I own an airplane and I take my buddies up flying around Mount Wachusett to from the Sterling Airport and show them, you know, the sights, you know, it's got a lot of risk right there. You know, I may not want to have that in a trust, mainly because, you know, what am I doing? Am I operating a business? Am I, you know, charging people to come on? It's just structured that way differently. Now, the taxation of both these things are a lot different too. But it's a great question. So at the end of the day, when you're just trying to decide between a business or a trust, you're usually looking at, well, what are you doing? You're just sitting there with some securities. And if so, and if you just want to try to protect them for your kids or you've passed them on, then maybe we're looking at a trust. But if we're thinking about that lemonade stand or if I'm going to start selling widgets or whatever it is, you know, I'm probably going to set up some sort of entity, such as a, and I shouldn't keep saying the word entity, but a business entity, because why? I'm running a business in that situation. So that sole proprietorship is not going to protect us. Now, if I decide to, say, well, what if I change the name and it's not Brendan King's Lemonade Stand? It's going to be, you know, Elm Street Lemonade Stand. I'm doing business under that name. Does that give me any protection? And the answer is not really, because all I'm doing there is changing the name and what's known as a DBA. Sometimes people think DBAs offer them some sort of asset protection, but they do not.
All right, let's talk about this DBA when we get back from the break, Brendan.
Sounds good.
This is the Money Matters Radio Network.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision, Now! Where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. YellowBook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit YellowBook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
Who's ready to hear some fun facts about Geico? All right, let's give it a go, shall we? First, over 3 million drivers switched to Geico last year. Second, Geico received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Third, Geico's been providing car insurance for over 70 years.
Whoa, hold up a tick, Nick. These aren't fun facts at all. These are financially sound facts. We've been duped.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
You want pain relief that's fast? You want pain relief that's strong? Then you want Advil Liquid Gels. They're faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Advil Liquid Gels. They rush real liquid relief right to wherever you hurt, so you can forget about your pain and get back to your day. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast. Advil Strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Welcome back to the Money Matters Radio Network. 66 degrees outside on this Wednesday. It's getting really almost like green black outside, Brian.
Yeah, looks like something's coming down the pike.
I think it is, like literally.
Yeah.
Was it raining when you came in?
It was. It started to sprinkle, yeah. It was getting there. You get those big beginning drops on your windshield, you know, when something's coming. It's just like all of a sudden you get hit, and then it just really opens up.
They said 5 o'clock for some kind of a little more heavier, so we'll stand by.
Well, you know, we're supposed to be having those May flowers, but, you know, I thought we were done with the April showers.
So did I.
Not so much.
I won't tell my nasty May flowers joke.
Oh.
Of course, they say April flowers bring April showers bring May flowers.
Right.
And what do May flowers bring?
What's that?
Pilgrims.
Ah.
You can ring the bell if you want, or you can just kick me out of the studio, Brendan. It's up to you.
I thought it was going to have something to do with your name, June.
No, I don't know what June brings. Don't even ask. Anyhow,
June, what are you bringing me?
We're talking to Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. It was bad. I know. And Brendan today talking about business entities on this Wednesday and giving away a homestead handout, which is free. And you can call his office at 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010 to get this. And we'll talk about how it is related to what we're talking about today.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking today about business entities and people who own businesses and generally speaking, if you own a business, you should have a homestead on your house. I mean, we're talking about asset protection here, and the homestead protects equity in your home. So, you know, pick up one of those or give us a call and get a free homestead handout, new law on homesteads, and learn about what has changed, what hasn't, and what you can do to make sure your primary residence is protected.
Okay. And before the break, you were talking about DBA.
Yeah. So the doing business as, you know, if we talk about that lemonade stand. If I just wanted to, you know, change my name on it, I'm filing a certificate in the town hall, not going to offer me any kind of protection. Maybe if I'm trying to, you know, convince someone that I don't own it, and someone who's not going to look behind the scenes at all, you know, there's some sort of protection there, but it's nebulous at best. But what if this happens? What if I, in that lemonade stand, someone drives by and says, hey, you know, I'd like to be your partner and want to buy into my partnership or buy into my business? Well, if the two of us enter business together, we have what's known as a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there's no legal formalities per se or filings necessarily for what we call a general partnership. And now, the problems with a general partnership from an asset protection standpoint, partnerships are good and bad. They protect us from what's known as outside liability, but not so much what's known as inside liability. So if I had a my partner in the lemonade stand and I were selling lemonade, and he went out and had a few drinks one night and you know, ran his truck into someone's home, do I have to worry? You know, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
Well, with general partners, the assets inside the partnership are going to be protected, okay, because his creditors are not going to be able to get inside the partnership, are not going to be able to take his interest in the partnership. I'm not going to have a new partner, okay? But if I make distributions from the partnership, they can collect from that, something called a charging order. But but without that, they're not going to be able to kind of come right in. So I don't have to worry so much about what he just did and his little driving excursion. However, the problem does become is that say it was an inside liability problem. Say that he was making lemonade and he wasn't paying attention, and instead of using Country Time, he used something else. We guarantee Country Time, or we had the seeds in the drink, and someone choked. Or if he did that, I'm personally liable for his acts. Okay,
oh.
So there's no protection, no any kind of entity protection inside the partnership for things that are happening inside. So there's no inside liability protection for me personally. Okay, now that's a little different, and just the opposite of what we know to be true about corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so say, for instance, instead of being a partnership, we said, hey, you know, I'm really concerned about the seed thing. These seeds keep getting into our drinks and choking everybody on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street. We need to somehow protect ourselves from this personal liability. So what are we going to do? Well, I've heard this great thing about corporations. What if we incorporate? Okay. Well, we file with the Secretary of State's office. We call ourselves, you know, Elm Street Lemonade Stand, Inc., or something to that effect. Now, what that's going to provide us with is protection now from inside. So if he himself is in there serving that drink with seeds in it, he makes the mistake, and the entity gets sued, and he maybe gets sued personally for whatever he ended up doing, I don't have to worry about personal liability on that. See, now I have an inside liability shield.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did I give up, though? This is what most people don't realize about corporations. What I gave up with the partnership is outside liability protection, because say we had that situation where he crashed his truck into that house, okay? We each own stock in our company of the lemonade stand, Elm Street Lemonade, Inc. He gets sued by the person who owned the house. The guy in the house, you know, wants his house fixed, and, you know, he wants his couch
rightly
back.
So,
and,
yeah.
Right? And so he sues my co-shareholder, my co-owner of the entity. Well, what's going to happen there is that his shares of stock are an asset. Okay? So if they are collecting on this judgment, they can take his shares of stock, and guess who my new co-owner is in the lemonade stand?
The guy who is suing.
Yeah, and I might not like him.
And you might not know him, and he might not care,
know
too much about lemons.
He might not know anything about lemons, June. And that's the frustrating
wow.
part.
That's bad.
So you can kind of see how a lot of people think that corporations are the end all on protection, where, you know, that can affect me. And now there's ways to mitigate some of that. There's ways to, you know, we could set up a buy-sell agreement. If he gets in trouble, I can buy his shares out, so now I don't have a new partner. We'll get into some of those things if we have time towards the end. But the point of the matter is that that corporation is not going to provide me with as much protection as I think. Mm. Now, the last thing, the last entity that I want to talk about is what I like the best. Okay, it's a combination of both the corporation and the partnership. It's almost like, you know, and I think this was done on purpose. We took the best of what asset protection is in corporate world and the best of the partnership world, and we mixed them together. And we got this thing called a limited liability company, which
an
is
LLC.
LLC.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Oh yeah, they're good. They're good. And why I like LLCs is that in this situation, they give us the inside liability protection of a corporation that we just described, okay, with the seeds, and then they give us the outside liability protection as well, because we're limited to what's known as that charging order I mentioned. So if he crashes his truck into that house, they're only going to be able to collect what is distributed. They're not going to be my co-owner now. And I don't have to, as the other owner, need to worry about that. Nor does he need to worry about losing his interest in that business, mm-hmm. which is kind of important. So you actually get the best of both worlds. That's why I really like the LLC. The other reason I like the LLC is one of the things we didn't talk about with respect to any of these entities is the different ways that they're taxed, okay? Now, just briefly, as a sole proprietor, we talked about no asset protection, and you're just taxed, you know, right straight, you know, back to you. There's no separate level of tax. A partnership has a pretty good tax situation, too. It has a flow-through tax situation, so anything that is done inside the partnership files a tax return, and everything is what we call K-1 directly out through the to the owners and the proportion that they own or have agreed to own that partnership. Now, the corporation can be taxed in two ways. It's either going to be taxed as what's known as a C corporation, which is two levels of taxation. It's taxed at the corporate level and then taxed when it comes through to the owner. Or they can make what's known as an S election, okay, and that would create one level of tax. Now, there's going to be some issues with S election, particularly in estate planning. So if you own S corporation stock, there are some limitations as to who can be the owner, okay, and we'll get into that in a minute. And then, but the limited liability company can do all of those things. Mm. If you are a single owner, you can be taxed as if you were like a sole proprietor directly back onto your 1040, or you can be checked to be taxed as an entity and then even do an S election on that. Or if there's more than one of you, you can be taxed as a partnership. It's very flexible, and there's no restrictions on this like there are with S corporation stock. Mm. So when we're planning with limited liability companies, subject to any kind of internal restrictions that the owners put on each other, we're not going to have to worry about, oh man, we're going to blow that S election because the units in this LLC are owned by this kind of trust or are owned by this kind of other corporation, or we don't really have to worry about who owns the units of the LLC as much as we would if we had a corporation that had an S election made on it.
So why would anybody not have the LLC? I'm sure there's plenty of examples.
Well, you know, the LLC does have is a little bit more in filing fees every year,
oh, yeah.
Okay, but not much more. And in my opinion, you know, we don't really set up anything else other than an LLC because we don't really see the need to.
Yeah.
You can almost get anything you really need to from the other one. So we're big fans of that, but I do know that some people do continue to file and set up entities in other fashions. And again, they maybe have different reasons for doing that. But again, I'm always very partial to that limited liability company.
Mm-hmm. Can see why.
Yeah, and with all these, you just want to make sure you're keeping up with your annual minutes and you have a separate record, and of course you have separate bank accounts, because no matter what you have, what kind of entity you have, you really want to respect that entity from an asset protection standpoint, because they have something in the law that's called piercing the corporate veil. In other words, if you don't respect your entity and you are just using it as your own piggy bank and you never kept any minutes with respect to that, then your creditor will ask, well, why should we respect it? We want to go right after the owners and their personal assets. Why should we have to respect this separate entity? We want to pierce the corporate veil. So keep up your maintenance, pay your filing fees, do your minutes with your attorneys, or make sure you have a corporate or an entity book set up and you're keeping all your records.
Okay, this is the voice of Brendan King. He is with Estate Preservation Law Offices. We're talking about setting up business entities today. That is the theme for Wednesday. Brendan also giving away today a free homestead handout, Understanding Homestead Protection. Is your home fully protected? It describes what homestead protection is. Maybe you've never filed one. Well, guess what? It explains why you should and who can file a homestead, and it talks a little bit, too, about elderly or disabled homestead. That's in there as well. And if you want to get your hands on this, you just got to call Brendan's office at 508-751-5010. Again, that's 508-751-5010. And Brendan, just kind of bridge the gap for us as to why you need this homestead protection, and we're talking about business entities today.
Yeah, we're talking about business entities, why people set them up, and primarily the reason why anyone sets up a type of entity is for asset protection. So, if you're thinking about asset protection in those terms, you should really think about it, personally as well. It's not just your business. You've always got to think personally. And, as a business owner, I've got a homestead filed, okay? I would highly advise it and find out more about it, and that's the point of the handout. If you've got a business or think about opening up a business, certainly file a homestead on your primary residence. Very easy to do.
Now, I know a couple of the laws changed and some new things went into place. Should people look into that as well?
Right. I mean, one of the things that you can certainly ask your estate planning attorney or your real estate attorney is that, what has changed. But again, if you call us for this homestead handout, you'll find out for free.
Okay.
508-751-5010, 508-751-5010. Give us a call.
All right. Well done. We'll be back with Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Offices after the break. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.
This is a Bloomberg Businessweek update. I'm Carol Masser. Match.com might know you better than you know yourself. The online dating company uses mathematics, algorithms, and what you don't say in your questionnaire to help you find your perfect match. Devin Leonard wrote the story in this week's issue of Bloomberg Businessweek using a fictional woman searching for love.
What the algorithm does is it factors in the things that this woman, that she might say about herself, that she's wants somebody who's never been married. They watch what she actually does on the site. And let's say she winds up emailing a divorce guy. The technology automatically dials down that sort of stated preference, that she wants somebody who's never been married, preference in quotes, since it turns out it isn't really a preference, and sends her more divorced guys.
Match.com's math seems to be working. The company's number of subscribers in the first quarter was up 21% over the prior year. For more on this story, go to businessweek.com. I'm Carol Masser.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to GEICO last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Yellow Book presents Quick Make a Decision Now, where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, Advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit Yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263 or log on to MoneyMattersBoston.com.
Cord is too long. Okay, welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network. I have like a 10
We're
foot
having cord problems
10 foot
today.
Cord. I know you too.
No,
actually.
I did. I had to switch headsets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt like a big cannon had gone off. You know when you can't hear for a while.
Yeah.
That first segment, if anyone was noticed, I was maybe talking a little bit loud. I could not hear out of my headset. I felt like you know.
Did you have no sound at all, Brandon?
It was really like no sound. I was.
Oh, you had to take the ear off when that happens. Because yeah. Then at least you can hear yourself.
Honestly, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, these are the things that happen in studio, folks. If you're just listening in, kind of the behind the scenes chatter.
Right. Good thing that people, well, I guess they can watch us, but they're probably going to scramble here, you know, untangle ourselves, you know.
Yeah. Brendan King with me June night in studio today. Brendan is with the State Preservation Law Offices. That's 71 Elm Street, Suite 100, Worcester, Massachusetts. And you can get him, just give him a call, actually, 508-751-5010. He's got a free homestead handout that he's giving out today, because we're talking about business entities and setting them up and, of course, protecting your house, Brendan.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, as a business owner, you know, you've really got to be – and that's what we talked about in this first segment is the asset protection aspects, to be concerned about liability. And in those situations, you really want to have – this is such an easy thing to do. You want a primary residence, you should just file one. It's very easy to do. Not a lot of bucks to do it. Just get it done, but you really have to do it.
Are there people out there that don't know that they have to file this? Or,
we run into them all the time. I can't believe how many situations I run into, and you know, people have done sophisticated estate planning. They'll come in and say, "Hey, we want you to review everything." You know, they're a physician or they've got their own business, and the first thing I look at is, you know, they have a homestead. It's just such an easy thing to do. They have any homestead protection on their house, and nothing's filed. Now we have an automatic allowance for homestead now, which is 125, but you can get the full 500 if you file it. It's really simple to do and it should be done.
Okay, great. And we're also talking about business entities. Let's continue on here. We want to know if they all offer the same level of protection and in what ways do they differ?
Well, you know, those are, you know, we talked a little bit about that, you know, prior. And again, it's so important to know what you have, how it's set up, mm-hmm. because as we talked about that difference between the inside and the outside liability, that's very important to understand. And that's how we kind of, how we always come to the conclusion in our office that LLC is the way to go. Now, the real trick is, you know, once you have the entity set up and they come to see us and we ask about it and they fill out our intake sheet and we're sitting there looking at their assets and they say, okay, I own a business. And there's a whole, and you probably remember our intake sheet, you know, we have a whole section on, you know, how is it taxed? You just really need to know these things. If they do tell us that, then one of the things we're going to request, it's a trigger for us to request, okay, you do own an entity. Now, we need to see... you know, are there any restrictions on your ability to transfer it? Because that, as we just discussed, is an asset. Okay, but do you have the full ability to transfer that asset or move it? Because in estate planning, we're talking about at some day, if not now, moving that asset somewhere. Okay, and if it's upon death or it's now or they want to start gifting some interest to their kids now, what are the restrictions? And oftentimes we'll need to look in certain places to find whether restrictions are in place, because quite honestly, most people who set up their entity may not even be aware of whether they have restrictions on their own stock or
sure.
whatever. So we'll say to them, okay, this is what we're going to need. We're going to need you to, if you're not sure who manages your corporate book, and a lot of times they say, we do. All right, well,
yikes.
We need to see, exactly, we need to see Okay, if it's a corporation, we're going to want to see the bylaws. You know, we're going to want to see the formation documents, any minutes, buy-sell agreements. We want to see the share certificates. Are there any restrictions on the shares themselves? We really are trying to find any type of restriction that we may need to waive so that we can, you know, or look for an ability. Say, for instance, if I have, and I do, I have a living revocable trust, and I want to put my units of my LLC or my stock into that trust, I need to really look to see if I have the free ability to do that. Because if I just do it, then I might be violating some sort of, you know, restrictive agreement, and someone might be able to buy my stock from me, another co-owner. Or have the option, and if we're not getting along, that might be the cue for them to buy me out. Mm-hmm. So again, we were trying to plan without creating a worse situation. So we'll want to review those documents. So again, if you're filling out or you're going to see your planning attorney and you have a small business entity, they're going to want to know about those restrictions. And if they don't ask, then again, you might want to see where you are, because they should be asking about that.
Yeah, if they don't ask, then something's wrong. You might want to move on.
Right,
find
right,
somebody else,
exactly,
like Brendan.
Exactly. And I'm happy to take them. So that's one of the things we're going to want to see. So plan to bring that to the meeting, or bring copies of those things to the meeting, because if you don't bring it to the meeting, we're going to certainly ask you to go get copies of any kind of documentation, okay? Now, once we do have a situation we determine there's a restriction or there's no restriction, we may make some recommendations for them as far as how they plan for that. We talked about in my situation, if my units of my LLC, maybe I want to put that into my trust. But there's voluntary restrictions that may be put. But we talked earlier about another type of restriction we have to be aware of too. And on our intake sheet, we'll ask if the entity you have set up is an S corporation. And the reason for that is S corporation shareholders are a limited class. Okay, there's only certain types of trusts that can be stockholders. There's certain individuals can be stockholders in certain entities, business entities. So at the end of the day, we really want to know if you have S corporation stock, because if you are planning on, say, for instance, I had a client who had some S corporation stock and they really wanted to leave it for the benefit of their children, but they wanted to protect the stock and they wanted to leave it in trust. Well, there are only a few different types of trusts that would qualify for this situation. Okay, now if you are transferring a trust to while you're alive, maybe to an irrevocable trust, and you know, it's as long as it's a grantor trust or your revocable trust, that's okay. But if we're thinking more along the lines of postmortem, and we want to protect that S corporation status, we're really looking at two different types of trusts, a qualified subchapter S trust or an elected small business trust. And they both have certain requirements that need to be in place for these trusts to hold S stock and not blow the S election, which is kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So again, these are the types of things that an estate planning attorney should be asking, or if they're not, again, head for the hills. You know, you don't want to be dealing with someone who's just not looking for these types of issues, something to be aware of, okay?
Okay.
Now, again, if the other issue that we're often encountering is that when someone is looking to do some business succession planning, one of the things that we always find is difficult to deal with is valuation, okay? Because say we have two brothers coming in and they want to set up a buy-sell agreement. Well, let's step that back a minute and we'll talk about what a buy-sell agreement is.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, if you have, and we'll just take the two brothers that I'm talking about. You have two brothers. They own a business together. They started it. You know, again, maybe it's that lemonade stand, and now it's the next Nantucket Nectars or something. And, you know, it's become quite large. Well, they like doing business with each other, okay? But it's still a small, closely held company. They like doing business with each other, but they probably really wouldn't want to do business with their wives, okay? Because as much as they love each other as brothers, they in their deepest, darkest thoughts have, you know, maybe had thoughts about not liking their spouses or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Or their significant others, or their kids, or whatever. So now, one of the things we have to think about is like, okay, everything, and a lot of times people get distracted because as a business owner, I can really tell you that I get busy, hence the name busy, business.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm in business, I'm busy. I don't really stop to think a lot of times about, and I'm just saying this, I do because I'm a planner, but I may not stop to think about what's going to happen to me when I die. At some point, even if I'm not planning on giving these shares away, at some point, my shares as an asset in my entity or my corporation or my LLC are going to go somewhere. Now, I have to think about that because if my brother and I are in business, if something happens to him, where are those shares going to go? Who's going to be my new owner? It's kind of like the asset protection thing with the guy driving through the house.
Right.
I'd probably rather have the guy who lives in that house be my new partner or, mm-hmm. or co-owner of this business than maybe my brother's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, sure.
And because, you know, at least there's a shot that I might like.
He's an adult.
He's an adult.
Yeah.
So, again, what we're trying to do here in a buy-sell agreement is a few things. We're trying to restrict the ownership as to who the owners would be. Maybe we are offering rights of first refusal to each other. We're also creating a market for our shares, okay? Because, honestly, I might have the greatest company in the world, but who is really going to buy 50% of my interest in this company with my brother?
Mm.
I mean, there's a limited market for it. So we're creating a market for these shares. How? Through insurance. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we get back. Mm-hmm. But the insurance aspect and how we fund it leads to another issue, which is valuation. And that's the big issue. And that's the real topic that we'll get to when we get back from the break. Valuation, either people valuing their businesses too high or too low, and what the problems are with both.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brendan King. We'll be back in a minute on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Yellowbook presents Quick, Make a Decision, Now, where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellowbook.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellowbook. I'm going to choose Yellowbook, obviously. It's a Yellowbook commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellowbook can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellowbook's search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellowbook it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit Yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
Spread the word. Now you can build your better breakfast at Subway.
Breakfast, breakfast, yay, breakfast!
And it's made just how you like it.
I like egg whites.
On an English muffin.
Black forest ham. Nothing better.
And American cheese.
Jalapenos and tomatoes.
Subway now has breakfast, like the Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Fresh toasted and made just the way you want. Only at Subway.
Subway! Fresh. Products may vary, may be available from opening to 11 a.m. at participating restaurants.
Springtime in the backyard. Brought to you with a little help from Ace. For a limited time, buy a Miracle-Gro Liquifeed Kit for only $15.99 and get a $6 mail-in rebate, limit 2. A canopy chair, on sale for $19.99, and more. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn points. Plus, get expert advice to save you time and money. Now that's a value. Hurry in to Ace, the helpful place. Prices good at participating stores while supplies last. See store for details.
Your financial questions answered by the best local business professionals. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in with your questions at 888-205-2263 or send us instant feedback on moneymattersboston.com.
This is the Money Matters Radio Network, Boston's home for finance. We're taking your calls, too, if you'd like to give us a shout. 888-205-2263. Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Office is in studio with me, June Knight. And talking about business entities, before the break, you teased that you want to talk about insurance and valuation, you said.
Yeah. So as we, you know, what we're trying to do with these buy-sell agreements is we're really trying to create that market for a small business owner. And if, you know, we talk about these two brothers who have a business and this lemonade stand that now is just a giant business. Well, as giant as it is, you know, it's a giant in whose head? You know, a lot of times as a business owner, you tend to think that your business, because you've put everything into it, is worth a heck of a lot more than maybe it is. Or a lot of times we'll see the business owner who is maybe a little tax savvy and comes in and says, ah, it's worth nothing. You know, a lot of times there's a tendency to undervalue, overvalue your business. And I think both can lead to some issues. Really what you want to do is find out what it's worth. And primarily because no matter what you're saying it's worth in creating this market for these shares, if you will, you also have to remember that these are assets that will be part of your estate for estate taxes, okay? So just because you say it's worth $100 and it's worth like $100 million, it doesn't mean that the IRS or the DOR, when you die, is going to say, oh, he said it's worth $100, so let's just value it that. Because what's going to end up happening, say you undervalue it for you know, instance, you and your brother say, oh, yeah, we're just going to pay each other a small amount. It's not really worth that much. And there's a struggle there, and I can appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But if you undervalue your business, what can happen is, okay, say two brothers, they value a business at, $100,000 for each of their half. So say the company is worth maybe $200,000, maybe worth a little bit more than that, but say it's about $200,000. So if brother A dies, they have insurance policy to create this liquidity, okay? Mm-hmm. So if brother A dies, insurance comes into brother B on A's life, and then brother B takes that money and buys the stock from the family. Like, it's what we call a cross-purchase agreement type of buy-sell agreement where the insurance comes in and they use that as the liquidity. Now, that is great. Okay, that's what you said it's worth, but was it really worth that much? And here's why. Because if it's not, and it's and you get there's an audit on that brother A's estate tax return, the money that the family received and what that brother A was hoping that his family could live off of is not going to be respected necessarily for estate tax purposes, and that might just represent the tax on that asset, because if they audit and they come back with a much higher value, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble here because you've got to possibly pay the tax on something that you said was entirely worth the amount. So in other words, you get the 100, but that just is going to basically barely cover the tax on an asset that they're saying is worth a heck of a lot more. So what can happen is you can really create a situation where the family left behind is not going to receive really what they were supposed to because they're going to end up paying more in taxes on it. Now, that's the problem, you know, with an undervaluation. I understand the problem with an overvaluation, and we a lot of business owners will come to me with it and say, you know, this is what my accountant or this person is saying it's worth. But I got to be honest with you, we can't afford to buy each other out for that. So I know that there's this tug of war between what a business owner may want to value it or what maybe it's actually worth, but you're always going to be mindful of the reality of what it really is worth. Mm-hmm. And so it's always a good idea to get a good valuation on what it is. Now, this buy-sell agreement will dictate how businesses are valued and you know how the buyout will take place. We talked about this cross-purchase agreement. We talked about how the insurance can come in and provide some liquidity at death. Another problem we often have is, okay, that's a death leaving, but what about a lifetime leaving? Where does the liquidity come? And that's what's often difficult in these buy-sell agreements in providing the liquidity on one stock owner leaving or business owner leaving is that in death we have the insurance to pay, but how are we going to pay for someone who leaves during their lifetime? What if brother A just wants to walk away or sell his shares? How do you structure that from him just walking over to selling his shares to somebody else? Now, brother B may say, good luck. Who's going to buy half of an interest in our lemonade stand? No one's going to. But he may find somebody who really wants to. You never know. Okay, so a lot of times you'll structure these, and when you're structuring a buy-sell agreement, oftentimes I find parties are very much on the same side of the coin because they don't know who's it going to be.
No,
you know, and you don't want to be the guy. And they're often on oftentimes on the same page, because the overvaluation sometimes of a business asset will kill the company. In other words, if I'm going to sell it for much more than it's worth back to my brother, how is he going to pay me if I leave or if I die? And if he can't, the true reality of the situation is the business is going to be paying for this, whether it is a cross purchase or a redemption agreement, which is redemption is where the company buys it back themselves, irrespective of how it's structured. At the end of the day, the engine driving the buyout is the company, whether it goes through the remaining stockholder or whether it's coming out directly from the company. So you can't strangle the company. Because if you think about it, that guy is gone. You have to pay for his shares, but you're probably going to have to pay for his replacement,
yeah,
especially if he was working for the company. Again, these are all things that need to be thought about and just can't be, oh, you want a will? You know, again,
it's not that easy.
It's not that
obviously easy.
It just isn't that easy. And again, this always gets back to my, you know, the thunderstruckness that I get when I see someone coming in with these assets or these entities and then the simple will that was just drafted 6 months ago, and none of the stuff contemplated. Now, again, just because you have these agreements in place and planning, one thing that I do want to mention to the business owners that are out there is that even if you do just have the simple will or whatever it is for documents, have some business powers in your simple will, okay? In other words, leave with the executor with special powers to deal with your business, okay, the ins and outs of it, you know, to deal with officers. We have very specific business powers that we incorporate into our wills for business owners. We also give our wills and trusts, because a lot of times we like to move our shares or our units into trust. Mm-hmm. So we'll have very comparative powers either to give the trustee or the executor in that situation to run an ongoing business, or even better yet, or not better yet, but even still, to possibly create a business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been parts of estates and trust where maybe a business entity or a protective wrapper should have been created and wasn't,
mm-hmm,
but we're going to create one now, because if this is an ongoing business that we're going to be operating under a trust and I'm a trustee, I'm going to want to put some sort of protective wrapper around it. So I want to see if some of those powers. So your trust or your wills, if those were drafted, they should have, and you should see in there, specific business powers to not only operate an ongoing business, but to be able to create one as well. The other thing that I would want you to check out if you are a business owner is look at your durable power of attorney. Are there specific powers in there? Again, this is a lifetime document that if you're incapacitated, there's some sort of ability for someone to step into your shoes,
yeah,
to run your business. Because while you may be in bed or you might be at the hospital or wherever, your business, if it's like mine, I can't take a day off, June. Why?
No.
Because when I take a day off, Mark just piles up.
Mm-hmm.
No one's doing that for me. As a business owner, most of us who own small businesses are employee operated. You know, I own it, but I'm also working there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take half a day off to go to Hampton Beach, I'm on my BlackBerry, you know, half the ride up and half the ride back, looking to see who's calling and trying to keep as much of that down. Why? The wheel's got to keep turning. I've got to still make payroll. So, again, it's very important for you to have proper documentation to make sure those wheels in your business keep operating, and making sure that you have the appropriate people nominated in those documents, because you may not even think of your business as an asset.
Mm-hmm.
You may have named your sister-in-law as your successor trustee. Why? Because she's good with some finance, but how is she at running a business? You know, because if that's your biggest asset, remember that that's a part of your estate as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take a break here to take a drink.
Yeah,
June talk for a second.
Yeah, you know what? Tim, let's go to a Bloomberg real quick. So Brendan's been talking and giving us some great educational information here, and you know, you can call him at 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010, and get his free homestead handout. Let's go to the Bloomberg update.
With the Bloomberg Small Business Report, I'm John Tucker. The PayNet Small Business Lending Index jumped 2 points to 88 last month. Still, it has a long way to go when you consider it peaked at 131 back in 2007. PayNet President Bill Phelan says there's a lot of money to loan right now. Demand just isn't what it used to be.
Banks have $1 trillion on their balance sheets. It's looking for a home right now. So they're all eagerly trying to find, you know, positive earning assets to put that money to work. So we actually looked at a recent indicator called the Credit Shopping Index. And that index shows that small businesses are shopping their credits at far fewer banks than at any time since 2005.
That, he says, confirms it's not a credit demand issue. Instead, small businesses need more customers. On the more positive side, small business loan delinquencies fell to the lowest levels since 2006. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Protection against web-based threats like malware and phishing has become a serious challenge for companies with distributed workforces. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Web Security Flex combines physical and virtual gateways with cloud services to protect both on-site and remote users from a single portal. Stop web threats. Visit Barracuda.com/Flex to try Barracuda Web Security Flex free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/Flex.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263 or log on to moneymattersboston.com.
Okay, we're back in. We took a little bit of a break. Only a couple of minutes left, Brendan, before we give out your info again. So how do you want to close things out?
Oh, a couple more things. One, I just want to mention there are some pros and benefits to having a business. And one I just want to throw out there is that, you know, if you're filling out the FAFSA, okay, you know, one thing you should be aware of is that the small businesses are not included, which is nice. It's relatively new.
You don't have to report that then.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So, you know, if you have a small business, and again, there's requirements under the FAFSA, then that's fine. And the other thing is, too, I always get the question with respect to insurance. Can I just insure myself? Well, insurance is great, but entities and insurance is better. Okay. So you
very
know,
good.
Get yourself a good entity set up. Also, get yourself the Homestead Protection handout, 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010. Get your primary residence protected if you are a business owner or if you're not.
All right, Brendan King, we'll see you back here next Wednesday.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, this is the Money Matters Radio Network.